Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Appreciate your participation on our text line. We say hello now to the wonderfully talented Jim Wyatt. TennesseeTitans.com is where you can find his work as training camp opens next week. Jim, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, doing even better since I hear that Anita Baker intro that Joe Dubin's got his fingerprints all over.
Hey, we're here to please, Jim. We're here to please. So we've been asking this question of the day of who in sports, what sports figure do you forgive for whatever reason? And I brought up that it's time to forgive John Robinson for trading A.J. Brown. And we took it a step further in that if all the wide receiver moves, especially the Titans made this offseason, you look at this wide receiving core, which on paper looks very, very exciting. If that all works out, does that finally make the fan base forgive John Robinson for trading A.J. Brown and let them officially move on? How would you answer that?
I don't know if people will ever forgive him for that, to be honest with you, just because of it's very rare when you're able to draft a guy and have him stay with you all the way through. And A.J. wasn't an angel through all this. He made it as difficult on John Robinson as he possibly could, just, you know, him balking to come in here and work and just some of the things he did that made John Robinson think that it was beyond repair. But, you know, trading away a guy who I still think is going to turn out to be, continue to be one of the top receivers in this league, I don't know if I'll ever forgive him for that because, if Calvin Ridley turns out to be a huge success, that's one thing. But I don't. How many more years does DeAndre Hopkins have left? How many more years does Tyler Boyd have left? I'm looking at A.J. Brown now. He's still very young. He's got many, many years to go. So this is never going to go away as long as A.J. Brown keeps scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point for sure. But looking at this team now and those receivers that you just named, obviously with Calvin Ridley being the I guess, big signing of this offseason, everybody's going to be looking at him. But do you put more, pressure on those receivers to perform or Will Levis to be able to execute the offense and get those guys the opportunities that they need to be successful?
Well, I think it's on Levis. I mean, yeah, those guys got to do their part, but he's got to get them the football and keep them happy. And I know that's not the quarterback's job is to please all of them because you're never going to do that. These receivers want the football, and one guy's tearing it up. Even if he's not saying something, probably the other guy's thinking, man, I want to get my share too. But Levis has got to be good. He's got to make good decisions. He's got to run the offense, and everything has changed for him since last year. I mean, he's got a new offense. He's got a new coordinator, new quarterbacks coach, new head coach. Line is different around him. You mentioned the receivers. So, I mean, he got a lot on him, and he's got a lot to do here over the next couple of months to get ready for the season. We have got less than a couple of months now. We're probably, 7-8 weeks. So I think the pressure's on Levis, but those guys are going to have to stay healthy and do their part as well.
We're talking to our good friend Jim Wyatt today on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Jim, when you were a beat writer, when you went to the locker room, is there one time you recall when a player was just so distraught at a loss and probably because he thought he was to blame for it? We laughed earlier, Chase and I did, about John Simon when he dropped the kickoff in the AFC Championship game, and he was just so upset. Is there somebody comes to mind along those lines that you can think of?
It's funny, when you were going in the lead-in, that's what I kind of flashed back to is that Oakland loss in the AFC Championship game. I mean, I'll never forget how down Aldo Greco was after that playoff game against the Ravens where he had some misses and had to block it. That was a bad one. Keith Bullock was about the most emotional guy that I can ever remember after losses. And he's not a guy that would sit in his locker and pout. He would just voice his frustration and some great sound bites. Yeah, I think probably the toughest losses I can remember where it was a collective group that just had trouble, you know, taking their jerseys and uniforms off and leaving. Was that 2000 season loss to the Ravens, the 2008 season loss to the Ravens? I think that happened again in that after that Bengals game in 2021. I mean, I think those three games stand out where it seemed like everybody was just, hard to find any positives after those games for some of these players.
Oh, I can imagine. All right, I'm going to flip it on you. The locker room where it was so overjoyed that it was amazing. And one that stands out to Chase and I was the game over on Monday Night Football beating Miami down there. That we couldn't hear – well, you were there. We couldn't hear Vrabel's press conference because it was so loud. I think there's moments like that where, you know, we're talking about the good and the bad, but the locker room was just so excited and crazy and losing their mind. To me, that stands out because, again, we couldn't hear Vrabel's press conference because they were so loud.
Yeah, that was one of them. I think the one of all the ones, some of the ones that jump out to me was the New England win in the playoffs when Logan Ryan intercepted Tom Brady and you went up in Foxborough, during that same night, during that 2019 season. That was as raucous an atmosphere as I can remember. Playoff wins always have a different feel because you got so much pressure going into those games. The locker room after the Music City Miracle obviously was just pandemonium, because it was so soon. I mean, a lot of these games end. The game you mentioned in Miami, that came down to the very end. So you're going to get some raw emotion, but the miracle, it happened right there, 16 seconds left, and players were still fired up from the play.
Right.
And they came in the locker room, and it was pandemonium.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're talking to Jim Wyatt this morning on the Chasing Big Joe Show. All right, with camp starting up next Tuesday and hitting the practice field and everything, a lot of focus, Jim, is going to be on Bill Callahan, obviously, you know, the dad of the head coach, first time ever in the National Football League. What dynamic – I know he's a great offensive line coach and he's been a head coach, but what dynamic can he bring to his son during training camp? Not game, but in training camp as Brian Callahan runs his first ever training camp.
I think just a calming influence and advice on a day-to-day basis on when things go well and when things don't. I mean, it's funny. I'm standing out here on kind of the balcony now looking over the practice field. Now some guys are kind of getting conditioning in and the guys that have been injured are kind of going through some drills. So you're already starting to get that feel for camp starting, but I'm looking over on the portion of the field where the O-linemen work, and I think I spent more time in that area this offseason than I probably have the last 10 offseasons combined, just watching the O-linemen, just because it's been cool to watch Bill Callahan work and just his professional approach and just how he teaches guys about technique. And that group as a whole just seems as together as any of these units have looked in a long time. You know, these guys all pushing for one another and demanding perfection if something's not done right. And I think that his approach there will carry over to his son. I mean, not everything's going to be perfect. Hopefully this team won't have any terrible injuries in camp like we've seen around here and seen across the league, in August. But there are going to be some days where I'm sure Brian Callahan's going to be fired up about how things went, and there are going to be some days where he's going to think, man, this didn't go as crisply as it should have, or we're behind and where we need to be as the countdown approaches September the 8th. And I think Bill Callahan, who's done it as a head coach before and been around this league for so long, he can kind of be a calming influence on his son. So it's a great hire, not only because he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, but also because he's done the job that Brian Callahan's done, and he can help calm his feelings a little bit.
Jim Wyatt is with us, and Jim, we've talked so much about the receiver group and all of that with this offense and the offensive line. I mean, ad nauseum. The tight end group, though. I mean, they brought in Nick Vannett, who, you know, has 9 years of experience in the league, but everybody else is three or less. This is, to me, a group that I think still needs some work. And we'll see who stands out in training camp. Chika Conquo, to me, needs to take a big leap. But how closely are you going to be watching the tight end position?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I mean, I think that group has a lot of potential, but it also has a lot of question marks. I mean, I like Chika Conquo. I think he's a really special athlete. I know he's worked on a lot of things this offseason that he thinks is going to make him better. But he dropped the ball too much last year and was inconsistent. And Josh Wiley, while he has gotten bigger and looks like more of a pro this year than he did last year, he didn't do a lot last year. He was hurt and just kind of finding his way. And then you mentioned Vannett. I mean, I think he's a proven guy who is known more as a blocker than he is as a pass receiver. So you've got some question marks there. I think there's reason to be optimistic about those guys because they're talented, and I think also because they're so much better around them. I mean, I think the receivers are going to take pressure off the tight ends. I think a passing game that's going to include the backs more is going to take pressure off the tight end. So I think those guys are going to be working in more space than before. And I know, I think in some ways, too, just the pressure of being in an offense where you're running it so much with Derrick Henry, I think that's gone, too, because they're going to get more chances.
Jim, what number training camp is this for you coming up?
Well, my first one was in 99 out at Bellevue is where it started off behind my son, where he went to the pediatrician right behind his office, right behind the pediatrician's office at the old Bellevue Mall. I was there for the first couple of weeks of camp until they moved into what's now Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. So I guess that makes it, what, this is 26?
Yeah, it would be 26.
Hard to play. And I tell you, they're completely different. Like, I see the schedule, and then believe me, I'll probably fall out on the practice field the first week if it's hot. But I just think about training camps of old where you're on the field from 8:30 to 11 and then from 3:30 to 6 yep. every single day. And you know, it's like Groundhog Day. You leave here at, you know, 10 o'clock every night, and you get back in here at 6:30, 7 o'clock every morning. And it's just nonstop. This schedule now is so much more manageable than it used to be. You can get some work in, you can get a little bit of sleep, and you can think a little bit instead of just always being on the practice field or doing something.
Before I let you go, I know the story, but I want you to tell it again real quick. What was the first story you ever covered as a paid reporter at the Tennessean?
It's funny. But even before I did this story, I'm going to tell you about, I started working at the Tennessean when I was working a full-time job somewhere else, and I was answering phones at there, taking hole-in-ones and taking bowling scores and, you know, tracking field scores. Like, I was the guy, the bell that used to ring, Mike Organ would tell you about it. It was just ding, and that meant that the phone was ringing. So I was the guy that answered the phone, I took all those what used to be the Agate page. I took all those over the phone, and I hung around there long enough where they finally gave me a chance. I think a couple of people were sick or something happened where I got thrown out at Old Hickory Lake to cover the Tennessean Regatta, which is a sailboat
race. Yes.
I think it was in probably early April, and it was probably about 38 degrees out there for the Tennessean Regatta, That was my first byline, and I look back at this and laugh now. But I spent the whole weekend out there, and I really enjoyed doing it. Took a lot of pride in having my first byline in the paper. But when it came time for the trophy presentation on that Sunday of the regatta, they were looking around like, "Who's going to present this Tennessean Regatta trophy out here?" Jim Wyatt's been out here. He can do it. And I'm telling you, back then I had Bama bangs and I had the mullet I look like I need to be carded still to probably get in the place to serve alcohol. But they looked around. They said, well, this guy, you know, we've had Larry Woody present this award before. There's a guy named Charles Searcy down there, John Bibbs by there. They said, this guy, he doesn't have enough moxie to hand out this award. So they called somebody from the advertising department at the Tennessean to come out there and hand out the trophy after I'd been out there for 6 days freezing my butt off on the lake. I didn't have enough moxie. And I have to be honest with you, I didn't know what moxie meant at that time. I'd have been more in trouble back then. But I look back at that now and laugh pretty good. I think
that's great, man.
I think it was Junior Ward. I can't remember the guy's name that won the regatta that year, but it was that was my first byline.
Well done.
That is a fantastic story. Jim Wyatt here on the show. Jim, appreciate it. We'll see you next week at training camp.
Okay, sounds good. You guys have a good rest of the week.
You too. Jim Wyatt joining us, TennesseeTitans.com, does great work for them, and he'll have training camp previews and all the stories coming out of training camp starting next week.
Yeah, our question of the day, what sports figure can you just not forgive, or what sports figure do you have to forgive? We got – Chase has a great one about John Robinson, but somebody texted him with one that I'm pretty sure it's 100% they cannot forgive this person. I'll tell you what it is.
We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe at the Omni, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.